Good afternoon. It's 79 degrees in Richland Center at 12:07. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Another person has announced they're running for governor, meaning the field of Democrats has gotten more crowded. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
Missy Hughes announced this morning she's running for governor. Hughes has served as secretary and CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation since 2019. She left her post about a week and a half ago, rumored to be entering the gubernatorial race. Here's how her first campaign ad released this morning begins.
I'm Missy Hughes. There are a few things you need to know about me.
Missy's a Democrat who understands the economy.
She spent years growing Wisconsin businesses.
And worked to strengthen main streets across Wisconsin. The biggest thing, I'm running for governor.
Hughes emphasizes her business background and says that is what sets her apart.
I spent 17 years as a dairy industry executive, growing Organic Valley to $1 billion in sales and keeping Wisconsin family farmers on their land. Then Governor Evers appointed me to lead our state's economic development agency.
The field of Democrats running just keeps growing, and now we can add Hughes to the list, along with Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, State Senator Kelda Royce, State Representative Francesca Hong, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered legal briefs to be filed in relation to a pair of lawsuits challenging the state's congressional voting maps ahead of the 2026 election. Two law firms filed the challenges in Dane County Circuit Court, where a judge denied a request to set a briefing schedule. They asked the Supreme Court to appoint a three-judge panel to determine whether the congressional maps are unconstitutional, but the court instead ordered the two sides to file legal briefs arguing whether the lawsuit constituted a valid action to challenge the maps. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials are warning residents that flu activity will begin increasing rapidly over the next few weeks. On Tuesday, the agency reported that flu activity was minimal and stable currently, but other respiratory illness activity, like COVID-19, is growing. Officials are reminding residents to take steps to protect themselves against respiratory illnesses, like ensuring they are up to date on vaccines, thoroughly washing their hands regularly, and staying home when they're sick to help prevent further spread. A proposed bill to limit the release of Mylar balloons was discussed in a state assembly committee on Thursday. The legislation would prohibit the release of 10 or more Mylar balloons, arguing they are harmful to the environment and their composition can cause short circuits if they fly into power lines. We Energy's officials say the balloons were responsible for nearly 14,000 customers losing power this year. If passed into law, the bill would impose a $500 fine for releasing Mylar balloons outdoors with exceptions for scientific purposes. Clean Wisconsin reports the Public Service Commission voted Thursday to approve the Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center, a 118-megawatt wind project in Iowa and Grant counties. It's the first wind farm approved since 2011. Clean Wisconsin intervened in the proceeding, highlighting the environmental benefits of wind energy while addressing persistent information. Clean Wisconsin says the commission also approved Whitewater Solar, a 180-megawatt solar farm, on the borders of Walworth and Jefferson counties. Clean Wisconsin's recent report on the local environmental benefits of solar farms showed how this project will improve water quality in the area, stating placing the solar panels on conventionally farmed ag land will reduce the amount of nitrogen and phosphorus being applied to the landscape, reducing chemical runoff and resulting in cleaner, healthier waterways. Clean Wisconsin says commissioners specifically cited this report when they voted to approve the project. Proposed legislation would specify the time period for repeat OWI offenders to apply an occupational license. Right now, the Wisconsin DOT may permanently revoke or suspend the driver's license of anyone who commits four or more of certain traffic offenses on crimes, including operating while intoxicated. Revocation periods vary, and courts may also order suspensions. Suspended or revoked individuals may apply for an occupational license, but there's a waiting period before eligibility, and that can vary depending on the underlying violation. A bill being circulated by Republican lawmakers would allow those whose driving privileges are suspended or revoked to be eligible for an occupational license after the first 180 days of the revocation has elapsed. Those drivers would be required to have a functioning ignition interlock device in their vehicles. The first confirmed death of an endangered whooping crane due to highly pathogenic avian influenza has been reported by the International Crane Foundation. Ducky died earlier this month due to HPAI. The loss marks the first confirmed death of a whooping crane due to HPAI. Ducky was part of the International Crane Foundation's breeding and reintroduction program and was custom reared by an aviculture staff at the foundation's headquarters in Baraboo. Ducky was slated for direct release into the wild this fall at Horicon National Wildlife Refuge, along with seven other whooping cranes in this year's cohort. Despite the swift emergency care provided by specialized veterinary and animal care teams, Ducky died September 18th. It is most likely that the virus was transmitted to Ducky by a wild bird or through the environment. While the other seven whooping cranes in the cohort held at Horicon National Wildlife Refuge for their fall release may also have been exposed to the virus, none show symptoms at this time and remained under observation. There are only about 700 whooping cranes left in the wild throughout their native range of North America. With fewer than 70 individuals in the eastern migratory population, the death of just one bird reflects more than 1% of the reintroduced population. Since Ducky's death, the foundation has raised its biosecurity protocol to the highest level to protect the flock and staff. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 6.3 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.82 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 17.8 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 25.5 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.56 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.49 a gallon, a difference of 93 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 5.8 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.08 a gallon. The national average is down 11.1 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data, compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports, covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 1.3 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.65 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, gas prices have seen a notable weekly drop in most states as seasonal factors ramp up their impact, namely the switch to cheaper winter gasoline and falling gasoline demand. He added, for now, seasonal factors will remain the primary driver of relief at the pump, though we continue to monitor the tropics for any potential disruptions to seasonal trends. A Lafayette County man is in critical condition after striking a deer with his motorcycle. Lafayette County deputies say 65-year-old Danny Burkhalter of South Wayne ran into a deer while riding his Harley Saturday morning and was thrown from his motorcycle. He was airlifted to UW Hospital with life-threatening injuries. Deputies say he was not wearing a helmet at the time of the crash. The crash remains under investigation. The Grace Board of Directors is congratulating fellow board member Leif Carlson on the hard work and dedication that has gone into the education and prevention program known as Walk Around the World with Grace. This event runs from January 1st through July 31st each year and recently completed its third year. In 2025, the participants walked a combined total of just over 25,000 miles. The efforts of the Walk Around the World with Grace caught the attention of the Wisconsin Cancer Collaborative. On September 25th, the WCC held its 20th annual Wisconsin Cancer Summit at Glacier Canyon Conference Center in Wisconsin Dells, and Leif was invited to attend to receive the 2025 Impact Award for Significant Impact on Cancer Prevention for this GRACE program. The Wisconsin Cancer Collaborative is a statewide coalition of organizations working together to reduce the burden of cancer for everyone in Wisconsin. They provide the tools, support, and knowledge needed to create healthier communities. According to their website, in Wisconsin today, 294,300 people are living with a cancer diagnosis. It was a beautiful day with great weather, family and friends, food and refreshments, as many took advantage of it to celebrate with staff at Southwest Technical College. In receiving the 2025 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence, the highest award a community college can earn, Wisconsin State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underly was on hand and spoke a few words to congratulate the community.
Truly an honor to be here with all of you today. Students, educators, parents, advocates, for those of you who didn't know, I live in the district that is Southwest Tech. I was the former superintendent at Pecatonica School District, so I'm very familiar with the partnerships that we had here at Southwest Tech and the work that they do with all the K-12 partners. And we are just united across the board that we share this belief that every student across this region and across the state deserves opportunity, support, and a clear pathway to success.
Southwest Tech is the first college in Wisconsin history to receive this award.
This award recognizes the very best community colleges in the country, those that lead the way in student learning, degree completion, workforce outcomes, and equity. And this honor absolutely reflects the years of deep commitment, bold innovation, and most importantly, meaningful impact on students' lives. It also confirms what so many of us here have known for a long time, that Southwest Tech is that national leader. One of the reasons this award is so well-deserved is because Southwest Tech's partnership with our K-12 schools. Because real student success doesn't start in college, it starts long before. And for those of you who been around, you know that partnerships are critical, and that is something Southwest Tech has long fostered, our partnerships, and they help put students first, and they've helped prepare students for college, career, and beyond. And across more than 25 high school partnerships, Southwest Tech is creating real opportunities for students to explore their potential through dual credit programs, through the dual enrollment program, and to create opportunity and combine it with rigor.
Underly said that dual credits are a game changer for students.
For students in rural communities, as we are familiar with, or from economically disadvantaged backgrounds, dual enrollment is an equity tool. It removes barriers, it builds confidence, and it proves that higher education isn't just possible, it's attainable.
I had a chance to catch up with DPI Superintendent Jill Underly to ask her what this means for the state.
The work that Southwest Tech has done with student retention is, I think, what really garnered the attention of the Aspen Prize. I mean, a lot of work goes into making sure that when students come here, that they are, you know, on a path to success, path to complete. They really pull out all the stops to make sure students are going to be successful. And so that's really important to the entire state of Wisconsin. We want to make sure that when we're investing in students and in the workforce, that they're going to stay in Wisconsin, and that's what Southwest Tech does.
The 2025 Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence means that Southwest Technical College in Fenimore is the number one two-year college in the nation. A community forum will be held tonight at 6 at the Phoenix Center and Richland Center. It will be a community session to update all interested parties on the upcoming issues of the Richland County community. The Richland City Council, Simons, the Richland School District, and the Richland Hospital and Clinics will be in attendance. Mayor Todd Coppernall urges everyone to attend to learn more about the community they live in.
Well, we started to do these community forums a couple of years ago as an opportunity to let people know what each entity, each government entity, and now we've incorporated Bruce with the hospital into some of this as well, so our people know what we're all working on. And more importantly, I think, than that, just an open, more relaxed atmosphere to ask questions to any of us, which we do every time. And it helps us too. People are happy when they hear from us and they go home with new information. But it helps us too, because the nature of the questions we get asked sort of help us as we're moving forward as well. What are the people most concerned about? And I've never had anything but positive feedback every time we've done one.
Coppernol says what started out as a casual meeting has become collaboration meetings benefiting everyone.
We do. We call it the joint collaboration meeting, and we meet every few months. It's not monthly. It's when we need to, when there's, you know, good stuff to talk about. And it's just sharing information. And I've given these examples before, but I'll do it as many times as I can because I think they're great things. From the first, it wasn't even called anything yet. The first "Why don't we talk?" was Marty Brewer, when he was the county board chair, called me and said, "Let's get together." And the two of us met with Steve Board from the schools, and Steve brought Aaron Unbehan with him from the school board. And we just met informally in the conference room at City Hall, and we talked about what was going on in each place. And from that first conversation, eventually East Hall transferred from county ownership to school district ownership, and the school district used it to put in their partner school, which now has a wait list. Is with a complete culture shift, a positive culture shift has taken place in the Richland School District in recent years. You see test scores much better and things like that. They also have enrollment headed upward again in the right direction, and that partner school has had a big impact that way. And when I say that, that's great for those kids who participate, but don't forget that a significant amount of state aid, it's tied to your student enrollment. So each kid in, it eases the burden on the taxpayers too. And all of that started from a simple conversation in a conference room, which really hadn't been happening in years gone by. There wasn't open communication like this between these entities. I don't know if there's one reason, or it just wasn't made a priority probably. And I'll give Marty the credit forever. He started it. And here we are, and we've gone along, we've been able to help each other out several times, and we've added a few more people to the room, the hospital being a great example, and I'm glad we're doing it. I hope it never stops.
All entities are working on a common problem, housing.
When you look at how many of our people are over age 50 right now, we got to get some young people in there, and what do we run into? No place to move, no house. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. You know, we tried to move in. We tried to recruit a teacher, a doctor, a police officer, and they didn't take the job because they couldn't find a home. That's a routine problem here we're all acutely aware of, and it's one we're all trying to address together. And we've got to do this. We've got to do this. If you still, and if I say to you 20 to 25% population decline, if you think your property taxes upset you today, imagine that many fewer participants. You will have no choice but to continuously raise taxes while you continuously cut services. And that's no place anybody wants to be. So we're all taking action right now to try to get ahead of what the projections say we'll be dealing with in 20 years, to try to reverse those trends if we can, or at least soften that change into the right direction.
Richland Hospital CEO Bruce Raisler says the demographics play a part in the future of the hospital.
When you consider a potential 20-25% decline in population, that's not merely patients to us or customers to some other businesses. That is also a decline in workforce and an overall reduction in our capability of delivering services, and really is the greatest threat to the well-being of the hospital and clinic, but our community at large. I'm aware of some circumstances where would-be employees, you know, want to live in Richland. Perhaps they're going to be on call even, so they need a quick response time to the hospital, but they can't find housing, either interim or permanent housing nearby. And so that can be a turnoff, and sometimes we lose those prospective employees.
All are welcome to attend the community forum tonight at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center beginning at 6. Hear an update on the campus property, Richland School District construction updates, Simons Recreation Complex updates, and budget information. There will also be a time for you to ask questions. As fall has officially begun, the American Red Cross urges people to mark the new season with a life-saving blood or platelet donation to help keep the blood supply strong. Donors of all blood types, especially those with types O positive and B negative blood, are needed now. For many, daily routines shift as the seasons change, but blood and platelet donations must remain top of mind. Every single donation is key to making sure all patients relying on critical transfusions, including car accident victims, those living with sickle cell disease, and those facing cancer, get the care they need. Fall into donating blood or platelets at one of the several blood drives being held in the area this week. Today, a blood drive is being held from now until 5:30 at South Elementary School in Reedsburg. Wednesday, from 9 to 3, a blood drive will be held at the Sauk County Public Health. Thursday, a blood drive will be held from 9:30 to 2:30 at St. Cecilia Parish Center in Wisconsin Dells. And a blood drive will also be held Friday from 9:30 to 2:30 at Royal High School. Make an appointment to give at any blood drive now by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Today's winners of $50 each in St. Anthony's calendar raffle are Pat Stittleberg on ticket 849 and Chrissy Latica on ticket 306.